ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 2 एंड 3। सो आई जस्ट रीड द वर्स। तत्रापि प्रियव्रत रथाचरणा परिखाते सप्तभिः सप्ता सिंधव उपाक्लिप्ता यता एतस्य सप्ता द्वीपा विशेष विकल्पस्त्रया भगवान् खलु शुचिता एतत् एवाखिलम् अहम् मानन्तो लक्षणातश्च सर्वं वि Jigyasami. The translation. My dear Lord, the rolling wheels of Maharaj Priyavrata's chariot created seven ditches in which the seven oceans came into existence. Because of these seven oceans, Bhumandala is divided into seven islands. You have given a very general description of their measurement, names and characteristics. Now, I wish to know of them in detail. Kindly fulfill my desire. Text 3. Bhagavato gunamaye sthula rupa aveshitam mano yagunepi shukshmantama atma jyotishi pare brahmani bhagavati vasudevakhye शमं आवेशितुं तत् उहै तत् गुणोर् अरसि अनुवर्णयितुमिति। Translation. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His external feature made of material moods of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who in His subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the mood of nature. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form which covers the entire universe is perceived. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Parikshit had already advised by his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, to think of a universal form of the Lord. And therefore, following the advice of the spiritual master, he continuously thought of that form. The universal form is certainly material. But because everything is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately, nothing is material. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj's mind was situated in that spiritual consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Prapanchi kattaya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukchubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathyayate. Everything, even that which is material, is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura translate this verse as follow: Hari sevaya yaha haya anukula vishaya bhaliya tahara tyage haya bhula. One should not give up anything connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking it material or enjoyable for the material senses. Even the senses, when purified, are spiritual. When Maharaj Parikshit was thinking of the universal form of the Lord, his mind was certainly situated on the transcendental platform. Therefore, although he might not have had any reason to be concerned with the detailed information of the universe, he was thinking of it in relationship with the Supreme Lord, and therefore, such geographical knowledge was not material but transcendental. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, Narada Muni has said, Idam hi Vishwam Bhagavan ive taraha. The entire universe is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from Him. Therefore, although Parikshit Maharaj had no need for geographical knowledge of this universe, that knowledge was also spiritual and transcendental because he was thinking of the entire universe as an expansion of the energy of the Lord. In our preaching work also, we deal with so much property and money and so many books bought and sold. But because these dealings all pertain to Krishna conscious movement, they should never be considered material. That one is absorbed in the thoughts of such management does not mean that he is outside of Krishna consciousness. Or one rigidly observes the regular principles of chanting 16 rounds of Maha Mantra every day, his dealing with the material world for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness movement are not different from the spiritual cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Oh, my dear Lord, when the mind is fixed so, this canto, especially this chapter, deals about the description of Jambudvip. And Parikshit Maharaj is asking that because of Priyavartha's chariot created 7 ditches which become island, now he wants to know the detail. And then Prabhupada has explained here that by the advice of spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj was advised to think of the universal form of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentioned here, it is a material form. It is not existent permanently, but it is a material form which exists with the material universe. And to meditate on that constantly. So Prabhupada had said here, advice of the spiritual master. So, in our spiritual life, when we practice spiritual life, the advice of a guide or a spiritual master is very much needed. And Prabhupada mentioned in his books, there are 2 kinds of association with the spiritual master. One is Vani and one is Vapu. Vapu is association of a spiritual master, bodily association. That is Vapu. And Vani is the instruction of the spiritual master on which we meditate. So, in the history of Vaishnavas, especially when we study of the life of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada didn't have a chance actually to closely associate with his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But little association he had in his life and the instruction from the very beginning given by his Gurudev, he meditates on that particular instruction and he made success in his life. So, as we know, the scriptures mention 4 kinds of disciples are there. One disciple, the fourth class disciple, when he get the instruction from the spiritual master, he didn't take very seriously about that instruction. He may grumble and he may not do as the guru instructed to him, he may think that, oh, I'm not in that situation, I'm not ready to do, I'm not ready to follow that instruction, and he may grumble and he will not do. The third class disciple, when the spiritual master instruct him to do something, advise him to do something, he will do it, but with grumbling. Oh, what is this? I have to go there. The Gurudev has said me to do this. Actually, I'm not qualified. But he will do it. The second class disciple, when he get the instruction of the spiritual master, he will do it wholeheartedly. He will follow the instruction properly, and he will do with his best ability to fulfill the desire of the spiritual master. But the first class disciple, he understands the desire of the guru. He understands what his guru needs, what his Guru Maharaj will become pleased. And then he will do according to that, with the prayerful mood from inside of the heart. He will be crying and he will be praying to his guru that, how can I please you? How can I fulfill your mission, your desire? He will find out. He will find out what his guru's mission, and he will do according to that he tried to fulfill. That is the first class disciple. So that is also mentioned, and Prabhupada also mentioned these points there. So, in our life, when a person gets a special instruction from his guru, he is very, very fortunate. He's very, very fortunate. Not every disciple deserves that instruction. Not each and every disciple get that instruction. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj has so many disciples, so many qualified disciples. And the specific instruction is given to Srila Prabhupada because Srila Prabhupada is a true disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So that's how the disciplic succession comes. If we are fortunate enough to have that kind of instruction from our Guru Maharaj, then our life will be successful. And then the explanation, what is success in our life? What is the description of successful disciple? The successful disciple, we may open so many centers, we may cultivate so many devotees. Is that a success in our life? We have seen in the history of ISKCON, our Vaishnava society, there were so many fired up preachers in our society. When they give class, they said, even the pin drop you can hear. That kind of fired up preachers are there. They opened so many temples. They cultivated so many devotees back to Krishna. But after some times, they fall down. That is not success. The measurement, we measure usually in our material world, we measure, he is a regional secretary of a country. He has done this, he has done that. That is very nice because this is a preaching mission. With me or without me, the preaching will go on because this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mission. It has to become successful. Without me or with me, there's no difference. But what is my success in my life? The success in my life is how much I develop love for Krishna. I may be a regional secretary or I may be a toilet cleaner in our temple. That doesn't matter. That doesn't give you a success in our life. Because this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mission, it can go on without me or with me. But But the real success in our life, how much we made spiritual advancement in our life. How much I made spiritual advancement in my life. How much I understand the real meaning of the scriptures. How much I realize the research knowledge and the realized knowledge is much, much different. There are so many scholars. Like a person who goes to the space, the book he studied, I have seen a picture of that guy. The book he studied, when he stands up, the book he studied is two piles of that book higher than his height. Unless he studied that books vividly, then only he can go to the space. So the research knowledge is not the real knowledge. We may study, we may scrutinizingly study all the scriptures. We can have so much research on our scriptures. But if we don't realize what is there, the realization is not a theoretical knowledge. It should come from within. And how it will come, my Guru Maharaj said, when you cry to Krishna and to Guru, and he will reveal everything from inside. Not that we studied and we know. Yes, we studied and we know things. How this world is that. How we are not this body. How the things go. What is material nature. What is soul. The nature of soul. How it works. Everything we can study very nicely in the scriptures is needed. But the real knowledge comes by a realization. It comes from within. When we pray to Krishna and Guru, then it reveals, Prabhupada used this word, it reveals from within. And then we realize, oh, the world is like that. Oh, I am such an insignificant creature in this huge, vast material world. That's why Prabhupada mentioned that That's why we need to study all those things. How material world is so big. The Jambudvip, how it is created. How this vast material world is with us. And we are just a small, nothing compared to the material world. Our brain, our body is nothing to be compared with the whole material creation. That's why for the neophyte devotee, for the beginner who comes to Krishna consciousness, he was told to study the scriptures so that he will understand his real position. I am such a fool. I am nothing in this material world. That's why this all thing, actually Prabhupada has mentioned, Parikshit Maharaj is not necessary actually to study all those things, but to have the glimpse of the idea of how this creation is going on and how it is created, that's why we have to study. The actual knowledge actually is coming from our heart. Prabhupada has mentioned this is like a television and it has a frequency. Our heart is like a television, Prabhupada has mentioned, and it has a frequency. When you tune properly, then you will receive the spiritual signal from the spiritual world through via transparent medium of a guru. You will receive the spiritual signals from the spiritual world. And you will actually see with the spiritual eye what is going on around you. And who is Krishna? Who are we? And that time, it will be revealed that what is your real swarupa? What is your real swarupa? With Krishna. We may be a grass. We may be a fruit. Enjoyed by Krishna. We may be a dust. In Golok Vrindavan. Then when we are tuned into that frequency. Then only when the frequency shows. They reveal that our real position. The swarupa. So the whole our practice of spiritual life. Is to strike. For that. To strike for that. So to strike for that, we have to have I do not know exactly what is what. But my Guru Maharaj said, what your sadhana can do. He said that. I may not understand fully. That doesn't mean that we have not do the sadhana. But my Guru Maharaj say that just by drinking milk, you can become pure devotee. He refers to a brahmachari when Mahaprabhu was doing Sankirtan, the house of Srivas Pandit, there was a brahmachari, very pakka brahmachari, who is just drinking milk and following the rules and regulate very rigidly, and he want to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that house. So the Srivas Thakur very mercifully brought him in, and he put him in one corner, covered with him with a blanket so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't see. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the Lord himself. He is the know of everything. But Srivas Pandit, Prabhu, and then that time he covered. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he started doing his bhajan, he said, there's one guy here. You find out some ahankari is here so that my kirtan is not going on very properly. You find out where this guy is hiding. Kick him out from this place. Actually, this is the mercy. Then they throw him out from the house. Then the brahmachari, who is only drinking milk, realize that this ahankar will not do anything with bhakti. Then they brought him in. When his ahankar is finished, he brought him in. And then the kirtan started again. The point is that, like, that's why my Guru Maharaj said, what your sadhana? By just drinking milk, you can get Krishna, you think? No. My Guru Maharaj said, but I don't understand it very 100%. But at the same time, I'm trying to understand that point. He said, only kripa, only the mercy of a pure devotee, guru, can make you, can elevate to you to the platform of bhakti. Only the mercy of the guru. So that Chaitanya Charitamrita also, it is mentioned, Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan, sei kale Krishna kale atma saman. When we take Diksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, when we take Diksha, that time when a person is fully surrendered, then Krishna took him the same as himself. That means Krishna had given him full mercy. When we are fully surrendered to Guru, because Guru is the representative of Krishna, when we surrender, we fully surrender to the Guru, that Gurudev, you can do whatever you like with me. If you want to kill me, I'm ready to be killed. If you want to send me to the desert, I'm ready to go. If you want me to jump into the well, I'm ready to jump into that well. If we surrender to Guru, then only the mercy flows from that Guru. There are two kinds of mercy, as you all know, I think. Vanchana and Kripa. Vanchana is that you ask for that. You go to the Guru and you said, Gurudev, my mind is so much disturbed, I think I should get married. Guru will say, why don't you try for a while, just hold on brahmachari life. Then after some time you go and say, Gurudev, I think I cannot hold. Please, I want your mercy. Give me permission. Then Guru will say, all right, you can get married. That is called vanchana. That is all vanchana. But the kripa, Guru himself, he sees your heart. He give you instruction. Now you do this. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gave Prabhupada, whenever you have money, you just print books. You are an English-speaking person, educated. You go to the West and preach. Not that Prabhupada asked him, Gurudev, I want to go to the West and I want to preach. No. The Guru said that you go and you preach. Then the success comes. The kripa flows from the Gurudev. So that's why the prayer mood is very important to get advice from the Guru. The prayer. We have to cry from our heart, Gurudev, how can I serve you, Gurudev? Please give me mercy. So that when the Guru sees the heart, then he himself come and give you the instruction. Okay, now from this time onward, you do this. Then when the instruction comes, that instruction we take as Prabhupada's words, I will use as life and soul of our life. I will do it until I studied my Guru Maharaj's life. Prabhupada told him, you stayed in Orissa. There was jungle there. Practically nothing was there. You stayed in Orissa, you developed this temple. This is the last founded project of Gurudev, Prabhupada in Bhubaneswar. His last founded project in this world. And Gurudev, that time, he has no disciples, nobody with him. And Orissa, as you know, is a poor state. He went around on a bicycle, sitting on the back of a bicycle, going here and there, collecting some money. It took 17 years to build the temple. Can you imagine? Because he has no money. But the determination is there, the instruction is there. You build this, you finish this project. So he meditated on that, and slowly, it took 17 years to finish that project. And slowly, it develops. And now, it's flourishing. So many devotees visiting there, and he himself remained humble in that hut where Prabhupada stayed 17 days in Bhubaneswar. The same hut, Prabhupada, as you know, that all the devotees that time, GBCs and senior devotees, they arrange a very good place in Bhubaneswar for Prabhupada to stay in a government guest house. And then Prabhupada asked, where is Guru Govinda? And the devotee said, he is in that jungle, he's staying there. Then Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to stay where my disciple stays. And then he went there. There was not flowing water. There was a, what you call that pump. And Prabhupada took shower in that pump, sitting under that pump. And Prabhupada say, I like this kind of bath. And Prabhupada says, 17 days, there was simple facilities are there. And Gurudev, he made with his own hands that the whole hut for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada enjoyed staying there, waiting for Nityananda Prabhu appearance day to do the inauguration of, to do the foundation laying ceremony of that temple. And my Guru Maharaj, he took an example. He showed us an example. He built a huge temple. But you go to his room, it is simple. With lantern and that hut. Until his last breath, he stayed at there. And the disciples made a samadhi at the same place. If you visit Bhubaneswar temple, you will see that he humbly remains there, there in his samadhi there. And he spent his whole life staying in that small hut. And people, the disciple asked, why Gurudev, we have made a huge big room for you with air conditioner, everything. He said, my Guru Maharaj has come and stayed in that hut. So I'm staying here, in the humble mood. Actually, this may be because my Guru Maharaj is not no more in this material world, that's why I'm saying this. One devotee in Burma, we were traveling and preaching, he had a dream. And that dream, Prabhupada is sitting and giving class, so many devotees are there. And Prabhupada is talking, if you want to have success in your life, you stay as Gaura Govinda stays and you practice as Gaura Govinda practice. That instruction was, that dream has come to a disciple of Lokanath Maharaj one devotee in Burma, and he woke up in the morning and he told me that dream, and I was surprised. I was surprised because the instruction didn't come to me, but it came to another person, and I realized that is a dream, just a dream, but I'm sharing with you. This may be an instruction of Prabhupada, I don't know. But Prabhupada here is mentioning that doesn't matter that if you stay in a hut, that means that you have bhakti. Just by drinking milk, we cannot have bhakti. Just by becoming a pakka brahmachari, we'll get to the bhakti. Prabhupada has mentioned very clearly, phalgu vairagya, yukta vairagya. Prabhupada has mentioned in this last paragraph, in our ISKCON, in our preaching mission, we may be utilizing hundreds and millions of dollars. So many books will be printed, and we will be managing huge temple, huge society, huge building. That doesn't mean that we are dealing a material life. No. Prabhupada has mentioned. But that's why I told you, the specific instruction should come for a specific devotee from a specific guru to make success in our life. Not that we, Gauranga Maharaj stay in the hut so that we all have to build huts around our temple and we start saying that so that we can have bhakti. No. For us, the instruction should come from our Gurudev, who we should be surrendered 100%. Completely surrendered. Then the instruction will come from our Gurudev, so that if our Gurudev said, you go and stay in America, no, and you have a nice flat, and if you go to the university, you wear pants and shirt with tie and boots, you go and preach. Then I will follow. If Vaheguru Maharaj say, we are opening a new center somewhere, you go and stay there, we have a hut there, then we follow. So, specific instruction we should have from our Gurudev, who we fully surrender to him. Then, if we meditate on that, Prabhupada used this word, and I like that word very much, that you meditate on that instruction. Prabhupada has meditated on that instruction. He went to Vrindavan, he stayed there in Vrindavan, but he is meditating. How can I fulfill the desire of my Guru Maharaj? How can I fulfill my desire of the Guru Maharaj? Then when you start meditating, the Chaitanya Guru inside make all the arrangement so that the Guru Maharaj instructions can be fulfilled, that pure devotee's instruction can be fulfilled. When you meditate, and do your sadhana at the same time, meditate, then the flow comes. That's how you see Prabhupada, he was meditating, and asking everyone, practically, who is coming to Vrindavan, please take me to America, Why? Because my Guru Maharaj want me to be there in America. So then somehow or other, without Prabhupada's knowledge, he got the passport and visa. Without his knowledge, because this is arranged by superior authorities. That's how he got. So if we can meditate on the instructions of our Gurudev, then the instruction will come and it will flow and our life will be successful. Not what we show, that I've opened so many centers and made so many brahmacharis, I have this, I have that. Not. That is ISKCON. That is the development of ISKCON. That is not my success. This is the success of ISKCON. My success is that if I chant the holy name, the tear flows from my eyes. That is my success. When I chant the holy name and all the hairs on my body stands, that is my success. So, I like to stop here. If any comments, no questions, just comments. I'm not a qualified speaker actually, and Govinda Prabhuji asked me to speak. So whatever little knowledge I have, I presented it before you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very inspiring class. Since Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is non-different from me, and if you want to please me, then you work for the success of ISKCON. So in this context, how will you make a balance between achieving things for ISKCON and at the same time making sure that at a personal level, as you mentioned, we progress according to the parameters you just described?
So ISKCON is, Prabhupada has said, ISKCON is non-different from him. So that's why Prabhupada mentioned, just now I was reading Prabhupada's lecture, he was mentioned this point. And he mentioned very clearly, for a neophyte devotee, we give them so much service. For the neophyte devotee, Prabhupada mentioned, that's why we have deity worship, that's why we have Sankirtan, that's why we have Food for Life, that's why we have life membership programs. For the neophyte devotee, Prabhupada mentioned. So, for the beginners, I'm a beginner. For, like me, like beginners, we should be fully engaged. No time to think of other things. Fully engaged from the morning till end of night. We should be fully engaged in the service of Krishna. Fully engaged. So that by engaging our senses, we become purified. At the same time, we work so hard that ISKCON flourish. We work so hard, because if you work hard, materially, spiritually, if you work hard, you will have success. So when you work hard, at the same time, follow the instruction of our Gurudev, and we work hard day and night, 24 hours. Keep engaged. Then our senses become purified. At the same time, ISKCON flourish. So, like for the neophyte, like when I start preaching, I have that desire that in Burma that should happen, this should happen. I have to have brahmacharis. No, we should have a temples. But after achieving so many things, I start thinking, am I make real progress in my spiritual life? Did I make any progress? Am I the different person 15 years ago, 20 years ago? My mind still working same direction? People may be thinking, oh, this guy is a great guy. He did that. I'm asking myself, are you a purified person now? I'm asking myself, can you stand in front of the deity and say that, yes, I have conquered the three moods of material nature. I am Abdabda. Can you say sincerely in front of the deity, in front of Krishna? I myself said, no, I cannot. But at the same time, are you cheating by preaching? No. Because the instruction comes to me that you preach. So at the same time, I'm sitting in the Vyasasan, unqualified person sitting on the Vyasasan, who had not conquered the three moods of material world, material nature, sitting on the Vyasasan and giving a class. Is that a cheating? No, because this is a service given to me and I'm sharing my realization and my thoughts with the devotee so that if someone may get inspired. That's all. This is a service. Prabhupada mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna is not actually fighting. Arjuna is not actually fighting. People see that he is fighting, but he is doing his devotional service. He's not fighting. So at this, like this, for me, actually, my understanding of this is that, yes, we have to work hard for ISKCON to purify ourselves, to make our senses purified, so that ISKCON flourish. ISKCON need to be flourish. We have to have all those programs. But at the same time, from our heart, we should pray to Krishna and Guru, Krishna, please make me advance in the spiritual life. I'm a fool. Please make me advance in the spiritual life so that I will recite the Shishashtakam properly. The Shishashtakam properly. I think it's at the point.
So, that was my main doubt, that in the course of performing our devotional service to spread the mission, then why doesn't the spiritual advancement also follow automatically? And it appears from what you are saying that we may have to make a little separate endeavor for our purification and advancement, apart from the regular services we are doing to spread the mission. So, is it not that if we just fulfill the desire of the Lord and spread the mission, then we also become purified and spiritual advancement also takes place automatically? So, it appears that we have to do some extra effort, or it seems that it's a separate program. Could you just elaborate on this?
And yes, I think, because in our history of ISKCON, we have seen work hard. After some time, falls down from the spiritual standard. So, by studying that, just by simply working hard, we will not automatically make spiritual advance. But one thing is there. The aparad of a pure devotee talks a lot in that. And my personal experience, somehow or other, if we make success, we become puffed up. Somehow or other, we become puffed up. Knowingly, unknowingly. Because people start people start glorifying you, and you become a special person in a temple or in the country. Then suddenly, the pride enters into the heart. So, my understanding and my Guru Maharaj's instruction is that we have to make special endeavor to make spiritual advancement in our life. Not that by just working hard for Krishna. And because we have to guard against all those things, that means that we are making endeavor to advance in spiritual life. My personal experience is that. Ki Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki Gaur Premanande Bhaktavinanda Gaur Bhaktavinanda. Thank you very much.